Blog Talk Radio.
I'm ready. So let's go. Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this is the Daily Go Getemism Show. We do this every single day. And we're doing this today on this Thursday, Throwback Thursday. Let's get real about relationships Thursday. And we are talking about work, the work parents and the work babies. The work parents and the work babies. What do y'all know? What do y'all know about the work parents and the work babies? We talk a lot. Well, I don't know about a lot, but lately we have talked a bit about the work husbands, the work wives, basically the work spouses. And we all know that we all have some opinions, some strong opinions, some loose opinions about the way that work wives and work husbands are supposed to conduct themselves, the way that they are portrayed to people's real significant others or spouses at home. And basically how the whole structure of the social relationships go in the workplace. Now, we can't discount the way that the social construct of the workplace works, because when you think about it, you spend a significant amount of time of your life in the workplace, at least 8 hours a day, unless you work at a part-time job for your whole career. And if you can find a part-time job that will allow you to pay your bills and elevate and advance and have the things that you want and the way that you want to live in your life, then you go, person. But for the rest of us, we spend at least 8 hours a day, five times a week, 40 hours a week at work. So, of course, with you spending that much time in a place where there are other people, where there is a social atmosphere, you're going to observe some things. You're going to absorb some things. You're going to be affected by the way that the life at the job goes. So, like I said, we talk a lot about the work husbands, the work wives, and what the work husbands will do for their work wives and all that kind of stuff. But what we don't talk about a lot or enough are the work parents, work babies. Now, you may have been a work parent at work and not even realize it. You may have been the work baby at work and not even realize it. You may have gone from being the work baby at a job to being a work parent at a job, maybe not at that job, but at another job. Somebody helped you and you decided to take somebody else under your wing and help them. And it happens this way. First of all, let me give you a definition of what I consider the work parent to be. The work parent is a senior person at the job. And when I say senior, I don't mean a senior citizen. I mean a senior employee, a tenured employee, somebody who has been working at the job for a good minute, somebody who is respected at the job, someone who has probably climbed up the ranks a little bit, somebody who is not usually in fear or in jeopardy of losing their job. Right? And they're normally very helpful at the job. They're not necessarily always in anybody's business. You know, they may keep to themselves, but are still sociable or whatever. Or they may be gregarious and outspoken and you know, just that Johnny on the spot type of person. But they've been working at this job for a while. They know their job very well. And then somebody new starts working at the job. Somebody, you know, with some snotty nose kid, either fresh out of high school, fresh out of college, or, you know, just starting to work at the job, and they don't know the job very well, but they may be skilled in their own right. You know how you can be a person that learns very fast and has really, really good stock within you, but you have to learn how to work at the job. And you may also have to learn the work social atmosphere. You have to learn a lot about the social atmosphere at work. Because even from my experience, I would have to say, Even if you keep to yourself at work, it doesn't mean that no trouble is ever going to come to you. It doesn't mean that you won't be mixed up in somebody else's poo-poo. It doesn't mean all of that. You know, a lot of times the people who keep to themselves the most, the ones that try to mind their business the most, the ones that display what some people would describe as antisocial behavior are the ones who come under fire, are the ones that you find, well, what do they have to do with it? Well, let me tell you. Sometimes people suspect them of being the snitches. Anyway, so this senior person at work sees some potential and likability in this new person, this new young person at work. And they may decide to start mentoring them, showing them the ropes, showing them how to make it in this job, showing them what to do, how to be successful, basically taking them under their wing. And of course, they only taking that person under their wing because they like the person. Maybe that young person reminds them of their daughter or their son or their niece or their nephew or one of their friends when they were younger. They see the good in that young person. So they start giving them game. They start giving them game and they form a relationship. So the young person starts looking for that older person to help them all the time. Not to do their job, but to show them how to stay out of trouble, how to keep from getting caught up with certain things. And a lot of times that senior person at the job is very protective of that young person. Like, you know how young people might get into confrontations at work and they be ready to set it off. They be ready to black out. They be ready to cuss somebody out. They be ready to get into fisticuffs at the job. That bitch ain't going to be talking to me any kind of way. Yo, the nigga talking that crazy shit, he talking greasy, you know what I mean? He must not understand that I'm from around the way and I'm going to show him some things that I know from being around the way. And he keep playing with me, and I'm going to have to hook off on him. And that senior person at work will be the one that says, Young blood. You know how you young and high-headed and you had enough. Your teapot is whistling. You know what I mean? You know how when you're young and your teapot is whistling? You know your teapot only whistles when it gets hot, when the steam is coming up through the hole. Yeah. And you know how hard it can be for somebody to calm you down when your teapot starts whistling. Well, that old head might be that voice of reason, just like your mom might have been, just like your dad might have been, just like your auntie and your uncles might have been, just like somebody who you respect might have been. So that senior person might be like, Christina, come on, Christopher or Christina. All right. I understand. Just let me talk to you real quick. Take you in the bathroom. Take you down to the boiler room. Take you to the break room. Wherever you need to go, they take you off of there like, what, you trying to lose your job today? But I'm saying this motherfucker been fucking with me ever since blah, 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 blah. Every day, you know, every day I come in here, all I come in here to do is do my work. And, you know, I'll just be trying to come in here and do my work and go home or whatever. I don't be messing with nobody. I know. But you got to understand, this ain't the place for that. So listen, I'll send you back on up out of there if you want this to be your last day. But if you want to show up here tomorrow, just know if you handle your business the way you about to go handle it, it ain't going to be no tomorrow for you in here. There ain't going to be a reason that you're going to be able to use in the HR if you go out there and handle your business with that person. And trust me, it ain't worth it. The way you're going to win this game, youngster, is you're going to have to let them play themselves. So I'm going to show you what to do. Stay here for a minute. I'm going to go talk to who I got to talk to. You stay here. I want you to promise me, stay your ass here. All right? Don't move. You're going to take your lunch right now. I know it ain't but 8:30 in the morning. You started at 7. You taking your lunch right now. I'll be back. Don't you do shit until I get back. That's how the work parent works. That's what the work parent does. Among all the jewels that they might drop on you. Y'all might even exchange, gifts during the holidays and shit like that. But the work parent is respectable. They're helpful. They're thoughtful. Just like your real parents are. Or the way that you would like for them to have been. You know what I'm saying? So you may have never known that you were a work baby, but you may have been a work baby. You may have never known that you were a work parent until your work baby started calling you mom or dad at the job. And I've seen it. Yeah, that's my dad. I didn't know that was your... Well, that's not my dad, but, he like a dad to me, So that's what we're talking about tonight on the Daily Go Get a Mism Show. What's going on, T. Carry? Right, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your site. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. Sit back, relax, do your thing. Max and chill and Stacey White. Thanks for coming through tonight. I hope that everything is going all right. And Stacey says, nothing is worth going to jail. That was always implanted, and it's in my mind for my grandma. Word. And she also says, they try to bring you out of your character intentionally. They're not happy. They're living a lie. Yeah, but we ain't talking about the person that's against you. Tonight, we're talking about your work parent. We're talking about whether you have a work baby or not. So we don't care about who is hating at the job. We're talking about the person that made you actually feel good about coming to work. We're talking about the people at work that you actually gave your personal number to when you left that job. Because you might have left the job for a variety of reasons. The best way or the best reason to leave a job is when you have a better job. You moved on. You stepped up. But it's who you communicate with when you leave a job that tells you about your relationship status at that job. It is what it is. It's funny because the other day, my man texted me. He texted me and he asked me, yo, do you still keep in touch with the people down at the convention center? You know what I'm saying? Because, my people want to go to the flower show and all of that. Can you give me tickets? And I was trying to explain to him, to be honest with you, I don't keep in touch with a lot of people down at the convention center. You know what I'm saying? But even if I did, getting tickets to an event like that wouldn't be easy for a person that doesn't work there anymore. It doesn't really work that way. But to be honest with you again, the kind of dude that my man is, he might have been able to swing it because he was always Mr. Popular at the job. You know what I'm saying? But that's how it is when you're not. Honestly, when you are a boss at a job, it ain't always easy. So, when you think about the people that you would still consider to be contacts from a job that you worked at before, like if you've left the job and you don't have any references from that job, it kind of tells you a lot. But even if you don't have any so-called professional references at a job, you might still have friends that work there. But we're talking about the work parents and the work babies. Have you ever taken someone under your wing at the job? Have you ever had a work baby? Have you ever had somebody younger than you that you took under your wing? You made sure that people didn't try to play them. You made sure that they check was right. You made sure that they knew how to fill out their tax forms right. So, you know, they got the money back at the end of the year or however it went, you know what I mean, that they needed to get. You know, like you showed them the business. You taught them the ins and outs that they weren't going to learn just on their own. You taught them the things, the little intricacies of the job that they weren't going to find out unless somebody who cared about them told them. And you did it because you did care about them. Have you ever worked at a job where you cared about somebody? It's not that easy of a question to ask everybody. Everybody don't listen, man. It would make sense that you would always have friends at any job that you worked at. But it's not always the case. Sometimes you just come in, scoop your cash, and make it pass. Sometimes. And other times it ain't nothing but a party, y'all. I tell you one thing, if you get high at work, you're always going to have friends at work. Now tell me I'm lying. I ain't never known nobody who used drugs at no job and didn't have no friends at a job. Tell me I'm lying. Tell me I'm lying. If you get high at work, you always want to have friends at work. Somebody got a cover for your ass. Damn, T. Carrie Wright says, I have at least 4 work babies right now. Damn. T. Carrie Wright talking about some you lying. No, I'm not. You barely find anybody at work getting high by themselves. I ain't never caught nobody at work getting high who didn't have a co-defendant. I ain't never caught nobody that was getting high at work who didn't have a co-date. Like, you mean to tell me everybody at this job is sober except for you? You the only one with a drug problem? You the only one that smell like weed? You the only one that pop pills? You the only one that sniff? Who you copping from? Who you copping from? That's what we're talking about tonight. Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. And this your daily go get a minimum show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar, with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Getterism Show, all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feel like real men and women should also tonight on the Daily Go Getterism Show. We are talking about the work parents and the work babies. What do you know about taking somebody under your wing, the young kings and queens? What do you know about somebody being the older ones and making sure their sons and daughters have what they need and you're the one? What do you know about taking some older person and making them your dad or mom and you say, I'm the one, I'm like a son or like a daughter, the girl, the world? Yeah, make sure that we always stay thorough. It's going down. This is some game. Everybody knows your name. All right. That's what we're talking about tonight on the Daily Go Getterism Show. So, the work baby. T. Carrie Wright says she has at least, what'd you say, 4 work babies? You got 4 work babies? four work babies? Damn, that's a lot. I'm wondering how you came to the point where you had that many, or shoot, some people have none. But like I said, the person at your job that was older, who you respected, who you had conversations with, who gave you game, who shows you the way, who always dropped those jewels on you, who always looked after you, who always looked out for you, you never, ever forget them. Remember the other day when we were talking about, you know, that teacher that helped you out, that teacher that smoothed you out, that teacher that always protected you, that teacher that always made sure you stayed on your shit? Your teacher was like a mom or a dad. Your teacher was your coach. Your teacher was that mentor. Your teacher was that rock, that foundation, that person that shaped you to be the type of person that you were or are. Same thing happens at work. The same thing can happen at work. So it's a great thing if you've had that experience at any job that you've ever been in. And if you haven't, it doesn't mean that it can't happen or that it hasn't happened on a lower level. But if you've ever experienced what I'm talking about, I think it needed to be talked about because we, you know, like I said, we talk about the work husbands and the work wives all the time and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes there's messiness involved with that and suspicion involved with that. Well, ain't no suspicion, ain't no messiness, ain't no craziness going on when it comes to the work parents and the work babies. We just don't talk about it a lot because it doesn't, I guess it doesn't have that juicy flavor, that sweet, juicy, you know, that drop in the tea type of flavor in it. But it has had an impact on our lives that has shaped us in ways that may be indescribable. You know, it is what it is. Man, I know people who have had work, who have had work parents, and they've kept in touch with their work parents for years. 10 years later, 20 years later, 30 years later, they've attended banquets, cookouts. Can't forget the cabaret. Can't forget the cab. Yo, you know, come down, you know, we used to work at Quartermaster down South Philly back in the day, you know what I'm saying? You know, this was your work parent is usually about 20 to 30 years older than you. So you started at the job when you was 20, fresh out of high school, fresh out of college, whatever the case may be. And they was already, you know, your old head. But they was the cool old head. They was the old head that you respected. And you were a respectful child. You weren't one of those, I don't want to hear nothing that them old heads got to say and all that kind of stuff. It wasn't like that. You was happy that they was trying to show you something. You were already attracted to them. Not physically attracted to them, but I mean attracted to them in the mental, in the spiritual. It was something that drew you to them. And they felt it, you felt it at the same time. So like I said, 20 years later, 30 years later, when they really are senior citizens, you still looking out for them. You still dropping off gifts for them. You still visiting them in the hospital, at the gig, at the crib, I mean. Or if they are still working, you know, you checking up on them. Because they gave you something when you were younger that you really needed. Like, I would have never really known welding if it wasn't for this person. I would have never really understood how to work on a railroad if it wasn't for this person. I would have never been able to move up to this level if it wasn't for this person. Because, you know, they put me on. They put me, you know, they let me know what it was. They let me know how to do this. You know, not only did they teach me the technique, but they showed me the ropes. They showed me how to act. They showed me how to be. They showed me how to avoid trouble all the time. Your work parents and your work babies. I ain't going to let nobody mess around with my work baby. Shoot, you might have even kept your work babies from getting their heart broke at work. Like, oh, God, I see you, and you messing around with that new guy or that new girl. Okay. Better watch out. You better watch out. You know, your work parents are sort of like your real parents, because they're gonna let you take your bumps and bruises because they know you got to take them. And because you are at work, you grown. And your work parents understand and they respect that you grown, even though your work parents might be the person that you went to happy hours with. You had a social relationship with them that you may not have had with your parents, you know, but they wasn't going to let you get high at work, or if they did, they wasn't going to let you get too high at work. You have to be respectfully high. You know, when they test you, you got to make sure that, you know what I mean, you ain't get fired status, that you are rehab status. The work parents and the work baby. Cal Chamberlain, me friend, me favorito, always great to see ya. And AK, good day. Glad you came around the way. I'm glad you got a little something to say. And Barbara Hill, Cisse, Bobby Hill, Bobby Cisse, what's going on, Ma? How you feeling? Thanks for coming on through. You're quite appealing. Good to see y'all. So y'all get what we talking about tonight? How many of y'all, besides T. Carrie Wright, have work babies? How many of y'all have been a work baby? Yo, Barbara Hill, she says, my mom used to work at Quartermaster. My mom used to work at Quartermaster. What a coinky dink. That was kind of why I didn't exactly pull that out of the hat. You know how many people used to work at Quartermaster? People was working at Quartermaster. You know what I mean? When they closed that shit down in the 90s, a lot of people lost their jobs, but a lot of relationships were cemented. Now, for people who don't know, Quartermaster was the plant down in South Philly where they made military uniforms and military products and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, basically, well, and I'm not sure if they didn't have other branches of service that they catered to at Quartermaster, but I know my mom, she made the uniform and shit. You know, so if I needed fatigues or if I wanted fatigues or something like that, I'm like, all right, I can get you some fatigues. But my mom kept in touch with a lot of people who she worked with, and my mom definitely had work babies. She definitely had work babies, and one of her work babies is still around, still checking up on my mom, still holding it down for my mom to this day. And I never looked at it before like that. Ironically, her name is Carol. Interesting. I think I might get my mom ear about that. Norris Hill says, heavenly shout out to my friend Mr. Smith that told me about working on the railroad. That's what I'm talking about. Man, it's tough on you when your work mom or work dad get sick. It's tough. It might be years later. Y'all, neither one of y'all are on the job anymore, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's tough because it's really, you know, you losing a valuable friend, a loved one. It's tough. It's almost like losing a family member. And with your work mom or your work dad, a lot of times you know their family. Their family knows you. They already know. That's why they invite you to stuff. Barbara Hill, CSA says, do people have work parents in corporate America? I've only seen it in city, state, and federal types of things. Yeah, you can have work parent anywhere. The only thing about corporate is, you know, I'm not going to say that it's dog eat dog, but it is. I'm not going to say that it's every man for himself, but it is. Because, you know, corporate America is all about self-preservation. But there are good people who work in corporate America just like anywhere else. You just may not be, because job security is really, really shaky in corporate America, you might not have as much time to dedicate to spending with your work baby or your work parent. But they become your work baby or your work parents by what you do with the time that you have. So I'm going to say yes. And you know, there are blue-collar jobs in corporate America. You know that as well as I do. You know what I'm saying? So, Cal Chamberlain says, I have a work daughter, grandkids, nieces. That's what I'm talking about. Damn. Queen Monica, your grandma worked at Quartermaster's too? Damn. Damn. How'd they close that shit? You know what I mean? But, you know, you got to think those were the days where if you had any kind of skill or motivation, you could find a job. Talking about the 60s, 70s, 80s, you could find a job. There used to be jobs available. There are jobs available now, but before you could get jobs where you could actually make ends meet. You didn't get rich or nothing, but you could go shopping. You could keep your bills paid. You could buy a house. You could own your house. You could at least keep up the mortgage on the house that your parents left you, your grandparents, whatever, the one that you got in the insurance settlement, yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Queen Monica says, I always acquire work family, but I'm very selective. You need someone to look out. Some became work mom, grandmom, and many out of respect. Not work pops though. Okay. I can dig it. Listen, if you see a young person that you know needs help and that will actually listen if you help them and you decide not to help them, something is wrong with you. One thing about your work mom or your work dad that I think is notable is that you never had to worry about them being jealous of you. You never had to worry about them worrying about if you was going to get a raise or a promotion. They wanted you to do that shit. A lot of times, your work mom and your work dad wasn't the boss anyway. So they ain't want no smoke, but they wasn't haters. And that's what you notice a lot about your work mom or your work dad. They wasn't haters. That's why you still cool with them to this day. That's why you look out for them to this day. That's why you send them birthday cards, Christmas cards, buy them presents, drop them off stuff, take them places, ask them if they're okay, drop off flowers at the hospital. If you know what I mean? Spend time with them. That's why, because they never hated. They showed you how to avoid the hate. They showed you how to circumvent the jealousy. They showed you how to keep yourself out of trouble. They was valuable. They was like your parents. They really was. Sometimes they was the parents that you never had, or they displayed the qualities that you never got from yours a lot of times. But they didn't hate on you. They didn't want you to have limited success. That ain't the reason that they helped you in the first place. They knew that you had the good stuff in you. And they knew, and they also saw that nobody else was trying to help you. Like, oh, okay. They trying to haze the new girl or haze the new young boy. Oh, nah. It ain't going to happen like that. Yo, come over here. Let me show you something. You know what I mean? Come over here. Listen. They might not have told you straight up and down who was against you, but they might have just told you, like, listen, I want you to watch out for yourself. Here's what I want you to do. From now on, when you come in, I want you to come see me first. Because I got a few things, you know, put in your ear before you blah, 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 blah. You know, they put you on. They wasn't looking for nothing in return. You ain't never have to pay them. This wasn't no, it wasn't even a bartering system. It wasn't a No, you scratch my back and I scratch yours. No, this is for you. You need this. I have it for you. You're getting it. Carol Chamberlain says, that's so true, Omar. They always look out for you. I know I do. Yeah. It's the truth. It's the truth. They wanted you to succeed. When you were finished at that job, you went to another job, they wanted you to succeed there. Yo, how things going over there? You know, what's up? You know what I mean? Anything I can help you with, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, as I know some people who blah, blah, you know, they was always looking out. They wanted you to make it. See, I see you. I see you pregnant again. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Well, I see they must be paying you enough to take care of this one. Sometimes your work mom and your work dad would haze you a little bit. They haze you a little bit like, stomach growing again, huh? Or I see you got multiple families over there. Yeah, I saw you with the other one. Uh-huh. Okay. You making enough to handle that little situation? Oh yeah. Just like your mom and your dad would haze you. Just like your mom and your dad would haze you. The same way your mom would be like, Oh, so you pregnant again, huh? Okay. Did he ever pay you support on that last one? Oh, you, because this is your third child by the one that ain't paying for the first one. You good? You good? Because you know that job you got ain't welfare. They don't increase your pay by how many children you have. Yeah. But you keep it up, you're going to need welfare. Know what I'm saying? But yeah, so you know, the work mom, the work dad, like I said, they was never haters. And the work babies were always respectful. They were always grateful. They were always appreciative of what was given to them. Work babies be mad appreciative, like, oh my God, thank you so much. I was on the brink of jobicide. What? I was on the brink of workicide. What? I felt like if I came to this job one more time and somebody kept messing with me, I was going to have to kill somebody. You was going to have to what? I was going to have to kill somebody. Oh. Thank you, Mr. Nate.
TK Wright says, hello, Barbara. That's how I say her name in my head. Cheryl. Oh, Cheryl. Shirley showed the world's most precious and greatest. I was so confused. I was like, what is Cheryl? But she can't be Cheryl because her name not spelled C-H-E-R-Y-L. It's actually, so to mess her name up, you got to call her Sherelle. Yeah, Cheryl, has anybody called you Sherelle? Has anybody messed up? Like, you, I mean, in my mind, you would have to be a real dummy to mess up Cheryl the way it's spelled. But my last name is McIntyre. I've heard people say, like, it wasn't nothing, McKintry. So, Barbara Hill CJ says, let's talk about people who have church parents be calling pastor their church dad. Nah, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that. Nope. I'm sorry. Because I trust a pastor. Not all pastors are bad. But the problem is not all pastors are good. And anybody who calls a pastor a dad reminds me... First of all, when you call religious leaders dad, that's almost like calling them God.
And you know what happens when religious leaders are referred to as anything godly. So no, nope, not doing it. No, we're going to keep this at the workplace where it's safe. At least at the workplace, we know it's for the money. Speaking of for the money, that's what I'm talking about. As far as your work parents are concerned and your work babies are concerned, it ain't about the money. Your work parents didn't become your work parents because there was money involved. There were actually feelings, thoughts, and caring thoughts and feelings involved at work. That's how they became your work parents. That's how you became a work baby. That's how you took on a work baby, because you actually gave a shit. It ain't had nothing to do with the money. Your work mom and dad didn't necessarily show you how to make money, but they might have showed you how not to stop your money. They might have showed you how to make sure that the money keeps coming. They didn't sign the checks for you, but they made sure that you knew enough to be in position to whereas you got them checks coming in. So let's say you weren't a good work baby. You were a good baby, but you was a bad employee. Let's say you have an attendance problem or a tardy issue. You have a problem with lateness. You ain't never clocked in at 8 o'clock a day in your life. 8 o'clock means 8:15, 8:20 to you. You think 8:05 really means 8 o'clock. Well, don't we have a 5-minute grace period? Yeah, it's called 7:55. Mm-hmm. It goes the other way. Everything after 8 is late. 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 You know how many people really don't understand that concept? Like, they do not get it. I mean, it's only 8:10. I ain't even really late. You know what they're really saying when they say that? They saying, I don't start work until 8:30 anyway. That's what they saying. That's what these dumbasses are saying. And they'll actually say that sometimes. Well, we don't really get started till 8:30, so what's the big... HR! HR! So anyway, let's say you have an issue with tardiness, or you call out too much. Your work parent is going to warn you, like, listen, you got to bring your ass to work. You got to come to work. Or I hope you took off because you going, you know, to find a job somewhere else. Because you about to lose this one. Your work parents is going to let you know what it is. They're going to let you know what it is. TK Wright says, one of my work babies is notoriously late. Your work parents can't always be your parachute. I mean, you know, they work there too. So, they'll always be your work parents, but you might have to get another job because you hard-headed. You hard-headed. Gary Wright says, I'm constantly talking them down or giving out advice. Mm-hmm. Carol says, Taki, my work daughter has anger issues. I'm always in her ear to calm. Yes. Anger issues. The hot-headed work baby. Oh, my God. I got to take you to the break room. I gotta take you to the locker room. Gotta take you to wherever. I got, oh my gosh, he almost got into a fight again. Again? DK Wright says, for real, Carol. I'm like, do not send that email. You have bills. Email. You know how many people do not understand the power that a work email has? Nothing outlines or puts a stamp on the power of the written word like an email. An email will make or break you. And do you know how many people don't understand the tone of an email? You know, sending angry emails. Yeah. I've had to stop people from sending angry emails. I've had to stop myself from sending them. I've had to check myself when writing an email and had to like back up off of it and come back to it. Like, let me read this before I send it. And I'm like, yeah, this thing's a little abrasive. It's a little abrasive. Not saying that I didn't still send it sometimes, but you know, like sometimes it's like, well, let the cards fall where they may. But some people really don't understand. First of all, some people can't write. That's number one. So you got a bunch of misspelled words and you damn near got curse words in your email. Yeah. You know, you have to stop people from saying things in the email. Like, I already told you that I was supposed to. HR? Work baby in trouble. Work baby down. Work baby down. Let me see. Stacey White says, it's not easy, no doubt. Carol Chamberlain says, her children even call me grandma. How about that? Shoot. I've heard work babies tell their kids, yeah, this is my mom at work. Not like my mom. This is my mom at work. Straight up and down. Like, you going to wear this title. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get this. You're going to get this like the ash on your forehead. You know, Ash Wednesday cap. All right, anyway. Barbara Hill, CJ says, ha ha. That's all I had to say about the church, too. Cool. Barbara Hill, CJ says, I write shit and be done, same sentence. I write shit, be done, same sentence. Nora says, I'm not helping you no more. I'm cannot helping you no, I mean, can no more. I mean, it's real shit. You know how, if a person can't spell or write grammatically correct when they come, you know what it's going to be like when they mad. Y'all done got them text messages before. Y'all done seen them posts on people pages and shit. Like, yo. The anger and anxiety really makes the grammar and the spelling and the, yo, it get ugly. It gets ugly, ugly. Carol says, they come to the job and say, hi, grandma. You like that shit, don't you? But yeah, man, you know, work parents are for life. I think it's safe to say that. Work parents are for life. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that their work parent is not their work parent no more. Or they used to be my work parent. Mm-mm. Just like your real mom and your real dad. For life. So, yeah. People usually hold on to their work family in terms of the work parents and the work babies. It's a cemented relationship, and it lasts, expands the test of time. And it's a very appreciative, meaningful and cemented strong relationship. Because you was young. You were young or they were young when it all started out. So let's say you were 25 when you started at a job and your work mom or your work dad was like 40. You know, when you're 25, 40 seems like a far way. It seems so far. You know how fast you get from 25 to 40? There must be less years than 15 between 25 and 40. Because I'm like, makes you feel like 26 to 39 never happened. Like, I think they did something to your 30s to just erase the whole 30s by the time you get to 40. But 40, 25 and 40 is not that far away. But let's say your work mom or your work dad was 40, 45, between 40 and 45 years old. So they're not over the hill. They're not old. But, you know, let's say if they're 45 and you're 25, so you're 30, now they're 50. They still in the workforce. You're 35, they're 55. You're 40, they're 60. Now they eyeing retirement. If they've taken good care of themselves, more than likely, 60 ain't a big deal for them. But if they haven't taken care of themselves, or by the luck of the draw, bad luck of the draw, y'all know how it goes. You know, you could have had they could have had some medical issues, you know, in their 50s or whatever. You know, hopefully they made it to their 60s. But by that time, you're talking about now that you're 40, that's 15 years later. By that time, y'all have gotten so close and all of that kind of stuff. You ready and willing to look out. But then you start realizing how much time has passed. And you start kind of looking at the mortality of your old head, of your work mom and your work dad. You know what I mean? You know, you start trying to hold on to them just like you tried to hold on to your own parents. Shit is real, man. Shit is real. This work parent, work baby thing is not really a joke. It's not really an exercise. This is a real thing. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, this is the Daily Go Get Emism Show. I'm your host, Sun752, and we're talking about the work parents and the work babies. The work parents and the work babies. TKI Wright says, the connection lasts so long because they get to know you on a personal level and on a business level. We get to learn each other's work ethic. Family doesn't usually see that in action. That's true. Never thought of it that way. That's absolutely true. Narciso says, now that you mention it, my 30s were a blur. I'm trying to tell you, 25, yes, they put you on a fast track. Life puts you on a fast track from 25 to 40. I don't know what happens in your 30s, but them shits, I think each year your 30s is really only 6 months. You ain't going to tell me that those years be a year. They 6 months. Somebody lied. A minute is only 30 seconds, but they keep manipulating the time so you don't notice. Carol says, Norris, I can't even remember my 30s. I'm trying to say, man, something is wrong with the 30s. Somebody needs to come in and fix the 30s because it's broke. Everybody remembers their 20s. Everybody remembers their 40s. And all the other ages. But somehow the 30s, I don't know what they're doing with the 30s. Somebody get on the phone with maintenance and tell them that the 30s is broke. The thing is, they're going to ask, where is it broke? And like, it's broke at 30. But check 31, too. It's leaking at 35. Connection at 37. And something is missing at 39. You know what I mean? I don't know. Call maintenance. You know, it's maintenance. They ain't doing nothing right now. Don't let them lazy bastards tell you that they can't find what's wrong at 30. Do not let them tell you. Don't let maintenance tell you that they can't find what's wrong at 30 or they nothing at 30. Tell them to call in a specialist. This might be, we might have to contract out to get 30s fixed. T. Carrie Wright says, I was raising kids late in life, so I remember my 30s. Carol says, just throw the whole 30s away and start over. Look, I didn't have my first child until 35. That's why I know how fast that shit goes. I mean, they sped up the clock in your 30s. But the thing is, nobody in your 20s or your 40s or their 40s, and they don't be telling you. Cheryl said, the 30 section, and wait a minute. Oh, this 30 section is out for construction. That's I'm telling you. Real track. Somebody get the 30s fixed. If we don't get nothing out of this show, at least we have uncovered that 30s are broke. It keeps going unnoticed. But somebody needs to fix this shit. Some birthday shout-outs to do. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. March 2nd, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Angelique Marshall, turning 45 years old today, and Angela M. Segura Santana, turning 32 years old today, and Erica Johnson, happy birthday to you, and Candace V. McGill, turning 50 years old today, happy birthday to you, and Robert J. Hale, the third, turning 34 years old today, and Mary Derry, go get a Mary Derry, happy birthday to you, and last but not least, Carolyn Tate Small, turning 75 years old today. That's what I'm talking about. Happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. March 2nd, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock. damn, the damn, the rock out. Rock on it, do the damn rock out. Rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, check it out. Listen, check it out. The word parent and the word babies, no ifs, ands, or maybe. Yo, you're not crazy because you took somebody under your wing because they were queens and kings and you helped them do their thing. And the mom and pop that you had, it don't stop. And you want to make sure that they get what they need and what they deserve because they put you down and help you swerve. And now you are a better person because of them. So you give back to them. That's my word. And everything is going to be all right. And everything is going to be all right. Think it won't. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. What? I said what? All right, y'all. So, I said so. Yeah, man. Hold it down. Pay homage. Show love for your work parents, your work babies. Trust me, it's no different than being a coach, a parent, a guardian, a leader, a helper, an assistant, a ward, whatever you want to call it. You know what I'm saying? There is something special about being somebody special. And always remember that. All right, Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah.